Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we've got ourselves another fine show today, and we've got ourselves a very special guest, as a matter of fact.
Hey.
I missed it. I usually do that when we first get on, and I forgot. So I figured that we'll give everyone the benefit of my hey.
There you go. Carol, hey. Nice.
Well, we do have a very special guest today, but I think we'll do the show like we normally do. I don't know, should we not disclose who our guest is until into the show for a few minutes?
That's fine. Yes, because promoted it last week. Anybody? So if you got regular listeners, they know who it is anyway.
Right.
It's
right.
All good.
So,
yeah.
But when we get to segment number two, we are looking forward to our guest today. But for segment number one, I'm sure, Jenna, that you most probably, I don't know, did you almost die again last week?
Something to complain about? Come on, we're ready.
I'm just checking. Were you on your deathbed again?
No, I was. So I'm off my deathbed, thankfully. But I do have kind of a weird story, and I'll try not to make it boring. But if you guys remember what we talked about last week when I was on my deathbed and Jesus delivered me a pizza from Domino's?
Though Jesus was late. Jesus should never be late, by the way.
No, and especially not that late.
Right.
Especially when you're on your deathbed, and especially when you're craving prefab fast food pizza. But I digress. Jesus is Jesus. So Jesus got me back because I complained about it on the air last week. Uh-huh. And you're not going to believe what happened. And I know this is going to it sounds like it's a boring story, but I'm just going to tell you. So I complained about that last week. Now, when we finished the show last week, I was, you know, not really on my deathbed, but I wasn't 100% off it either. Like I was still kind of in the
hanging on.
Yeah,
that's right.
By a thread. So as it were, I decided, I think it was actually the same day we recorded our show, or maybe the day after, I took a day off and I said, I'm going to order myself like a dozen cans of soup and I'm going to rest for one more day. And I'm just going to, because I can handle heating soup up in the microwave in terms of my culinary skills, but I can't handle much beyond that. We know this.
Right.
So I contact Instacart. I'll just name names because Instacart and I have become very good friends since the start of the pandemic. And I'm never going back. I love having my groceries delivered. I never need to step foot in a grocery store ever again. Instacart is the key to that success. And I have used them probably 1 million times in the last 2 years without incident, you guys. 1 million times in the last 2 years. So I get on the computer.
Until now, I'm guessing.
I order my dozen soups. It was a dozen. So I'll tell you what I ordered. I ordered like a dozen soups and razor blades, not for my wrist, for my legs. For some reason, I just had a need for razors and soup because they go together. All right.
Oh,
anyway,
my gosh.
I make my, and it was, so it's not a big order. Like maybe it's, I don't know, $40 or so, right? Okay, so I ordered the soups and, oh, I lied. I wasn't staying home. I ordered them while I was at the office and then I ordered them for a time that they would arrive right before I got home. So sure enough, I'm at the office, my shopper's shopping. The one thing about Instacart, if anybody doesn't know, is once your shopper starts shopping, you kind of get notified if there's an issue, if there's a problem. They're texting you constantly, so you know what's happening. It's kind of cool. So my shopper shopping, no incidents really, and I get the ultimate text, which is, oh, your order has been successfully delivered. Have a great day. Perfect. So I leave the office, I drive home, and lo and behold, I'm pulling down the driveway, and I don't see any order on my front porch. My front porch is perfectly empty. So I do a little hard target search around the house because, you don't know, could be somebody new, maybe figuring that I don't want to get my groceries at the front door. Maybe I want to get them at the back door. Maybe I want them in the middle of the yard. Maybe I want them down by the river. Maybe I want them by the, who the hell knows?
That's right. People are weird.
People are weird, right? So I do a hard target search around the curtilage of my property. And
nice use of the word curtilage, by the way.
Thank you. And there's nothing. So, first time for everything. I get on a chat with Instacart and I explain, hey, I've used you a million times. This has never happened before. Somebody else must have gotten my order. Can we just have a do-over? And the person who I was chatting with said, yes, we'll redo your order. It'll be another few hours, but I wasn't going to get too mad at it. And you know, here's the interesting thing. So the guy, so whoever I'm chatting with says, we'll give you a do-over. It's going to be a few hours. Do you want to ban your previous shopper?
Oh my gosh. Like,
oh God. Why?
Isn't that terrible? I'm like, ban my previous shopper? No, I don't want to ban her. Like, to punish her because she got it wrong? Like, no. I said, I'm not going to ban her. But they give me a new shopper for this replacement order. Fine. I'm fine. So the new order is supposed to come at, like, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night or what have you. Start shopping and my usual text, yada, yada, to coin Frankenberry's term, yada, yada, cool. I'm waiting for the shopper to arrive. Lo and behold, I get my, your order has been delivered. Thank you for using Instacart. I go racing to the front porch. I swing open the door like a kid on Christmas with cookies for Rudolph. And there ain't nothing.
Oh, no.
They got your house wrong.
So twice in the same afternoon. So now I'm like, I jumped up to the top of my drive. I'm like, did somebody steal my mailbox? Did someone steal my mailbox? Did someone steal the number? So I have the number of my house is on my mailbox, which is across from my driveway. I also have the number of my house on a little sign right at my driveway, like two little signs. So I'm like, who sabotaged my property? So now, and I'm like, and here's the thing. Here's the one fly in the ointment if you're an Instacart fan like I am. When they do deliver your groceries, there's no receipt. There's no, like, note that says, hey, these belong to, Jonna, and I'm from Hannaford's. Like, there's nothing. It's just a bunch of groceries land on your front porch without a clue as to where they came from. So I can't even get mad at whatever neighbor got, 4,000 cans of soup and two packs of razor blades.
They don't take a photo like Amazon delivery people now will take a photo of the item on the front porch or wherever they leave it.
And it's funny you should say that because they have done that before. And these two times they did. In fact, one of the shoppers sent a text and said, the internet's not working, like, I think indicating that she couldn't take a picture. So anyway, so now I chat back to Instacart and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Two orders within 3 hours of each other. Neither one of them showed up here. Just give me a refund. And would you believe the refund's going to take like 7 to 10 days?
Oh, of course it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you
goodness.
Joking? So anyway, never solved that mystery. Don't know who got the order. And I have not ordered from Instacart since because now I'm a little afraid. But I think, I don't know, Mercury has since gone direct. Maybe it was a Mercury retrograde thing. I don't know. But Jesus got me back. Okay. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Yeah. I was talking smack about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, you're not happy with late? Hold my beer.
Wait, actually, I think it would be not... hold my glass of wine.
Yeah. Hold my goblet.
That's right.
Hold my chalice.
Hold my last supper.
Yeah. Oh, you thought that was bad 3 hours late? Watch this move. Yeah.
The moral of the story is don't mess with Jesus.
I guess so. Or Mercury in retrograde, whatever the hell that is.
Yep, that's a thing. And that was a thing, too. So, yeah, so that happened.
I can't believe that they offered to ban your first shopper. I'm like, that's a little harsh, man.
I felt like judge, jury, and executioner.
Exactly.
Ban her. And I had all these visions, like Ebenezer Scrooge. And whatever, A Christmas Carol, you know, like...
And Bob Cratchit, and yes.
Yeah, And I'm like, wow, if I ban her, what's going to happen? Like, her kids won't go to college. Like, I don't know. Like, she won't pay her electric bill. Like, this is crazy. And you know what? It wasn't even, like, it's an innocent mistake the first time. The second time, then I kind of thought there was a band of people who shop for Instacart. Like, this heathen, we'll get her. Let's get her.
Our neighbors across the street, I won't say my street name, but their house number is 10. And there's a large facility not too far from me that is also number 10 of a different road. And it's not hard to get confused for the access point. And they were getting Uber Eats all the time left on their front porch. And in the beginning, they would call. Say, look, this isn't ours. This isn't ours. And now they just open the door, take it in. I'm like, let's see what we got today.
Oh, that's funny. You know, and that's something else. Like, I would feel guilty if somebody delivered something to my house that wasn't mine. I would feel guilty keeping it. And I would, you know, want to go out of my way to make sure that it got. But there really is no, if anybody from Instacart is listening to this, there is no way to know. There's no mark. There's no sign, there's no receipt, there's no, well, actually, wait a minute, hold on.
What they don't even leave
from the grocery store.
Yeah, they don't put your name though on the box and say, you know, the name of the client.
Nope,
they should, because there might be some honest people out there to be like, this is not my suit, but let me walk it down.
That's right. And let's talk to Jonna about the razor blades. Maybe she has issues and this is a sign.
Yeah, let's check on our friend stupid razor blades.
Yes, this is a sign
let's
from
make
Jesus.
Sure she's okay.
Yeah, no, there is absolutely no way. And I'm wondering if the same neighbor got both order, like did both wrong orders go to the same wrong neighbor, or maybe, you know, one went to the neighbor on the left of me and one went to the neighbor on the right of me. I don't know. We'll never
now,
know. Will
now,
we?
When
or,
those
back, or back home to the pantry of the Instacart driver.
That's right. Now, my other question, though, is, Jonna, they may not have these packages may not have the client's name on it, your name, but does it at least say Instacart on it somewhere? So somebody that receives it can say and make a phone call to Instacart and say, hey, I got a bunch of crap delivered here that's not mine. I mean, there has to be some way to follow up on possible mistakes.
I think there is a receipt from whatever grocery store you get your items from, but I don't think it's a special Instacart receipt. Like, so if somebody had dug in the bag, they might have found a Hannaford's receipt, but unless they're an Instacart user, they might not figure out how did that end up on my front porch. Like, I would put two and two together because I've ordered from Instacart a million times. If groceries just ended up on my front porch, it'd be like, got to be Instacart, or at least call them and find out. Like, if they can do that. But then again, wait a minute, you guys, think about it for a minute. Let's say, Frankenberry, let's say you live at 123 Knoxon Road, right?
Okay.
And you call and you get a package from Instacart, you get groceries, and then you contact Instacart and you're like, I live at 123 Knoxon Road. How the hell is Instacart going to know where those groceries were supposed to go? Right? I don't know how they'd figure that out.
Right, because it doesn't have a client name on it.
Right.
Hmm.
So maybe somebody did try to give him back. Huh. Hmm. Well, I'm going to change my name in Instacart. I'm going to change my profile from Jonna Spillboard to Jesus. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, then they'll be afraid to screw it up.
Yeah.
Just spell it with two E's and a Z.
Or you know what I should do? I think all of my problems would be solved if I just, I don't know.
Started cooking.
Raised my vibe.
Oh, no.
Bam. Bam. Yada yada bam.
You got some bad energy there that's attracting some not good stuff.
Jonna, you know, one of my favorite things is when you high five yourself over stuff that's a complete fail.
Yeah, which I do all the time.
Frankenberry, you stop beating around the bush. What do you mean?
yada, bam.
No, bam.
I am going to introduce, without further ado, this week's special guest. And I am also going to high-five myself about the awesome Sagu that I also did, which is normally Curly's job. But why didn't she do it this week? Because, ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this week on Happy Hour is Curly Pesky herself. Why? Because she has written a brand new book entitled Raise Your Vibe. Well, are we going to say 21 ways to raise your vibe in 21 days?
That is the official title, right? Yep.
That is the official title.
Energize your life. Yep.
And I don't even know when your book is officially dropping, but we're going to talk.
It just dropped this week. It's out.
Oh, frig. Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with author, co-host, entrepreneur, all-around great gal, Carol Pesce, on her latest book, 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days and Positively Energize Your Life.
Can't wait.
Indeed. That is what is on the way. And for all of you out there that caught Jonna calling her Curly Pesky, that's not the name to look for when you search for the book.
No, thank you.
All right. We will be back with our good friend and new author again, Carol Pesce, on the way. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesce and myself. And we'll be right back. So please stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesce. Segment number two is where we interview, our latest illustrious guest. And our illustrious guest this week just happens to be in-house.
Which is such a special treat because you know what? We talk to a lot of authors and a lot of inspirational, motivational gurus, but it is truly a pleasure to have one among us three. So this guest really needs no introduction, but we are going to talk about her latest book, which I am very excited actually to dig into myself. I'm so excited. I may actually read the physical book and not wait for you to see the audio version. That's how excited I am for our good friend, Carol Pesce, and her latest book, 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days and Positively Energize Your Life. Carol Pesce, welcome to Happy Hour.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with the two of you. So I guess I kind of have to do a little self-interview here, even though I'm sure you guys will have questions as well. And I know, Jonna, one of the first questions that we typically ask our guests, particularly authors, is what's the backstory? Like, what made you come to write this book? And as you both know, and any of our regular listeners know, my first book was Happy Bitch. That was my story of discovering my ex's affair and how I chose to respond to that in such a way that got me to a very happy place, much better life, and advice for people going through challenge. Then I wrote Hello Beautiful, which is really about the internal challenges that we faced and figuring out how to show up whole and complete in this world. And then lo and behold, I find myself, as much as I know, written two books, getting great feedback from both, in a space where I am not feeling great. I am upside down on investment properties I own, meaning I owe more than they're worth. I had a pretty decent amount of credit card debt and scrambling every day trying to figure out what do I need to change? What do I need to do differently? How can I finally get some more money? How can I finally get some more success? What can I change around me? What I'm doing, all of that. And then I don't know if it was just my intuition, a divine voice. I don't know, but I just made the decision to settle down and cool it and go with the flow and just not worry so much. And as I settled down, as I focused on just calming down and feeling good and not worrying about stuff so much, things started to change for the better. And here I find myself today, much happier, a sense of peace. I don't feel this pressure to perform, get things done. I am now free and clear of all of that debt and have recurring monthly income doing what I love, which is talking on this radio show with you guys and writing books. And what I figured out was I stopped worrying about the things around me and started focusing on what's going on within me. And that is focusing on my energy and focusing on how I feel. And when I let go of the rest and focus on that, my life literally flipped right side up.
Okay, so hang on a second, because I love what you're saying. And as a person who, you know, I think you and I and many of the people in our circle, we're always kind of trying to examine our lives, right? No matter what, trying to examine our lives and be happier and do better. And like you said, to become more successful in whatever area that we like to work in. And so I get that one day you woke up and said, you know, what can I do to change it and kind of let go of things? But is this book about all the ways you did it? Like, where can a person, how did you find the ways? You obviously you picked 21 ways because that's the cover of the book. Where did you find these ways and how do you know that they work? Let's dig into that a little bit.
Okay. So the reality is I discovered the facts, about our energy. I discovered what really matters. And here's what I have figured out. I have answered the question so many of us have asked, and that is, why do some people seem to have it so easy and seem to have mm-hmm. all the luck and others don't? And if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that hasn't asked that question, I would be shocked. And the truth is, I have figured that out. I'm not the first one to, but I have figured that out and found a way to communicate that to people. The answer is, and it is now where it, wrap it in the label of spirituality, call it science, it's actually both. Every single thing in the universe, everything is comprised of energy, including you at the very fundamental level. Even things you think of as solid matter fundamentally are energy. And so we interact with other people, with other things, with circumstance, with opportunity, with luck, with money, with our health, with every cell in our body on an energetic level. It's fact now. It's not this woo-woo, you know, people think this is all just spiritual medium stuff. No, it's science. They've come together now where we realize this is actually what's happening. So the people that you see who seem to attract good luck and opportunity and things go easy and you're wondering, what am I doing wrong, have a different energetic frequency. So that's your mood, right? That's how you feel. If you want to simplify it, it's how you're feeling in the moment. And have you ever had like a really crappy day and you're in a miserable mood and it's not just one thing that goes wrong, right? It's like,
right?
It's one thing after another. And then your computer, your electronics actually start acting up. That's real. That's what you're experiencing, that you're in a bad mood. You're in a bad energetic place. And you are then interacting with the things around you on that level. And you're seeing the response to that. So in part, it sounds complicated. It's actually really quite easy. If you want to change how you are interacting with the world around you, how people respond to you, your health, how you feel, you want to change your life, change your energy. And so that's what this comes in. This book, 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days, is actually to say, here's what's happening. Okay, there's the setup. And you read the intro to the book. Here's why this matters. It matters in every single aspect of your life. You want things to start changing, start focusing on how to change your energy, how to lift your mood, how to raise your vibe. And you will virtually miraculously see things, people, yourself changing as a result of that. So, and there's many ways to do that. I chose 21 different ways that I have experienced myself that I know if I'm feeling this way and I do this, I'm going to feel a little bit better and or a lot better. And the other thing that I've done with the book is of the 21 ways, I talk about you have an energetic, there's an energetic scale, right? So if you're feeling blue, what do you think of? Feeling down and low, right? So I equate everything on a scale of color. So if you're feeling blue, so there's 21 different ways. Some are good if you're not having such a good day or you're feeling low. They're not hard to do. They're within reach. Some are ways that are, if you're already like, okay, you know, I'm feeling good today. Let me pump it up even higher. Because the fact is, if you're like in a crap mood today, and I'm like, okay, here's way number, 15. Why don't you go do something fun today? You're going to be like, no, because it's not within reach. It's not within your energetic reach at that moment. So there are certain ways and I have everything color coded that if you say, yeah, you know what? I'm mid-range today. What's within my energetic reach? What would work for me and how I feel?
That makes so much sense. You have no idea. Like, I'm having aha moments just listening to your description. For example, now I haven't read the book yet because it just dropped, but I bet you this would be Carol Pesci approved. So while you're talking about this, over the last maybe week or so, I used to start my day every day. You guys, I would wake up, I'd go get a cup of coffee, I would go back to bed, and I would scroll through social media while I sipped my coffee. I would do that faithfully every freaking day. So for the last week and a half, maybe even two, I said, nope, that's not how I'm going to start my day. Now I start my day, I still wake up, thank God, I go down, I get a coffee, and then I go, and since the weather's been nice, I sit outside, I listen to the birds, I stare at the water, and I sip my coffee just outside in the fresh air. And I do that for at least 15 minutes before I go and aggravate myself on social media. And I feel better. It does set the tone. I feel physically better, for what it's worth. I haven't won the lotto and I'm still employed, but for what it's worth, it makes me feel better for that 15 minutes.
And Jonna,
part of the day.
Yeah. When you said that you had usually started with that cup of coffee and then going back to bed and scrolling through social media, which just hurt me, by the way, I knew the next thing you were going to say, because I've seen the pictures that you take and I know what a beautiful spot you have on the back of your house. And I know how serene and how gorgeous that spot can be. I knew you were going to say you took that cup of coffee outside.
Oh, you knew that, huh?
I knew you were going to say that. And it's not because I've been hiding in the bushes taking photos. It's because I just knew you were going to say that.
And that's brilliant. And also, it's simple, right? There's brilliance in simplicity.
Yes.
Anything that you do in the present moment that lifts how you feel ever so slightly, even if it's a little bit, even if it's a little bit of release from anxiety, right? A little bit less anxiety. You move yourself up the energetic scale. So anything you do in the now that lifts your mood, AKA your vibes, that you feel better, you are influencing everything around you and within you, including your health.
And
including attracting opportunity. Yes.
And Carol, one of the things that I've noticed, and I'll find this with myself, Jonna, like you said yourself, you get up and you scroll through the social media with your cup of coffee. I'll find myself every now and then realizing that I haven't listened to anything in my car on the way to and from work for, say, weeks. And I'll say to myself, Steve, how can you do this in silence? How can you do this drive in silence and just be stuck in your head the whole time? But now that the weather's improved and I can open my windows and I can get some fresh air in the car, and I have a brand new record from a band that I remembered from 30 years ago that just put out something new, and all I've been doing is cranking it and singing out loud on my way home, to the point where the other day I even got a smile from some little kid sitting in the front seat with his dad who heard me singing, and I didn't realize they had pulled up next to me. but
it's that so simple.
Yeah.
And look, I suggest, kind of make it a game. I'm saying take a 3-week vacation of sorts and stop worrying so much about if you're worth it, if you can ever achieve what you want to achieve, if things around you will ever change, if the people around you will ever change. And instead, lighten up and start focusing on how you can feel better right now. And just watch what happens around you. It can be miraculous. And look, if you figure out other ways that help you feel better, like having your coffee out on the porch and looking at the view, or driving your car and singing at the top of your lung, whatever works for you. These are just 21 suggested ways. And I may find some people pick up the book and they find way number 3 is my one, and I'm going to do that 21 days in a row, whatever works for you. So I think what I'd like to do is give you an example or two of some of the 21 ways.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the premise is there. You want to change your life, change your energy. You want, and this is what the book is designed to help you do. Easy read. It's not that long. It's the setup to explain a bit about the science, a bit about why it matters. And then you get into 21 different opportunities to feel better. And also at the end of the book, I did a 21 days of a bit of a journal. So you can say, okay, today I chose this way to try, and this is what I noticed, and this is what I experienced. So that kind of makes it more interactive, a little bit of a journal element. Anyway, so way number 5 of the 21 days I titled Be Billy for a Day. And what that is I have this awesome neighbor named Billy that you cannot have a conversation with him without him ending it at least once or twice throughout the conversation, or at least when you walk away with, it's all good. He always ends every conversation with, it's all good, no matter what it is. And I smile and walk away every time I talk to him. And what he is using and what this way is about is the power of our words, the things we choose to say. So we think our words describe experiences. I'm telling you, they influence and create them. So using just his line as an example, it's all good. If you're talking about something that's negative and you end it with, it's all good, you're instilling faith. You're communicating to yourself, to the world, to the universe. It'll work out, right? Kind of lessens that impact. And if it's neutral, you leave the conversation feeling higher. And if it's good, you just amp it up. Every single time I talk to this guy, I feel better after I walk away from him. So I get into some other suggestions about word choices that we can use. So way number five is for that day to be very conscious of the words that you choose to use and choose words that lift you up, that help you feel better. And help the people around you even feel better. You know, we've had Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo on the show a few times. She's written a few books. She's a big deal. And her latest book, Get Out of the Red Zone, she explains how when you feel happy, your positive energy is actually contagious. It influences others. And she says there's at least 2 degrees of separation. So if I show up to, for example, our radio show today and I do something that makes you laugh or make you feel better, I compliment you, whatever, Jonna, and you end our show and you feel better, then everybody around you is going to be affected because of what I did that affected you, that affects people around you. So you're not just influencing yourself, you're actually influencing other people when you do things to raise your vibe. So another simple word examples. When people say, this is a problem, you'll rarely hear me say that. I will always choose to say, this is a challenge. Not the problem is, I'll say the challenge is, right? So problem is, oh my God, it just stops you dead in your tracks. Challenge is okay, but I got to figure it out, right? So that's the point of way number five, which is easy to do, right? Just be conscious that day of the words that you choose to use. What's another one? Oh, so another one, way number 15, as an example, is to be open to receive. From a very fundamental level, we know that energy needs to flow. When you walk into a dark room and you flip your light switch, there's power to that light switch, right? There's power coming to it, but it's being resisted. Mm-hmm. When you flip the light, you allow the energy to flow. You close the loop and the light comes on. And how many of us, and I am so guilty of this, are so used to giving. Giving is easy for me. My friend Jonna needs something. Frankenberry needs something. My brain goes, what can I do? How can I provide? How can I give? How can I help? I'm wired for that. Mm-hmm. But if we do that and we're so accustomed to sacrifice, no, let me do it. Let me do it. People offer help. No, I got it. People offer you a compliment. You play it down. You're actually blocking the flow of energy. And when we allow ourselves to receive, if somebody wants to do something for you or do something kind or help you, allow it. You allow that energy to flow in both directions. So it's as simple as that. You choose for that day to be in the mindset and the energy of I'm open. I'm open to receive goodness, help, whatever it is. And you just watch what happens as the day plays out.
I really like that one because I am guilty. And if we take the advice that you gave us in a previous of the 21 ways, you're actually helping. If you receive graciously, you're helping a person who feels good about giving, right? Because when you give, it's nice to know that you're doing something good for somebody else. And when you know that they're happy in the receipt of it, it expands your pleasure in being a giver.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And that's how I close that segment out, is by saying when you do something good and you're generous to somebody else, it feels good, right? Of course it does.
Right.
Well, when somebody offers that to you and you deny it, you're actually denying them an opportunity to feel good. And that's another reason why it's important to be open to receive.
So, Carol, this book, people can pick it up. You can read it in linear fashion, or you can read it through and then decide which ones resonate with you more and practice. You really can make this book the way you want to read and utilize this book is what it's sounding like.
It is. And that's what it's like, an elixir. So what I suggest, the setup, the introduction isn't that long. It gives you the reasons why you want to lighten up and worry, and not worry is not the right word. Focus on raising your vibe and feeling better now, all the reasons that you want to do that. And then I offer 21 different ways to do that. Choose one, do it 21 times, choose three, do them seven, whatever. But I do suggest you kind of read through them first so you kind of know what's available to you. Dog ear the ones that say, oh yeah, I like that one. And then go back and start with those. Do them in any order. Do each one a few times, however it works for you.
So it sounds like the next time I go outside with my cup of coffee, I should also go outside and read a couple or three of the 21 ways to raise my vibe in 21 days. And I'll get back to you.
And then what I'll do, Jonna, is I'll come over and I'll join you on the patio back there with a boombox. Okay.
Oh gosh.
Right.
And I'll just sing out loud and piss off your neighbors and ruin your cup of coffee, and we'll smile about it later.
No, actually, pissing off my neighbors would enhance my cup of coffee. I'll high five you. It's all good. I'm sure that's not one of the 21 ways.
No, certainly not. So the book is on Amazon. Well, the title is 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days and Positively Energize Your Life. It's an easy read. It's easy to apply. Anybody can do it. It would even be fun if you have a friend or a group of friends to each get a copy and do it together, and you kind of check in, because it's contagious. Good energy is contagious. And guys, that's the kind of contagion we want to be spreading right now.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, congratulations, Carol. And I can tell our listeners, I know for a fact that you are an amazing writer. So if anybody has not experienced any of your books, by all means, you can start with 21 Ways to Raise Your Vibe in 21 Days. But, I still get pleasure from Happy Bitch and Hello Beautiful. So keep up the great work, my friend.
Thank you.
And there is no better compliment, at least when it comes to our audience taking a listen out there, as to what to expect from Carol's book and how excited Jonna is about it, that she's actually going to grab a physical copy of the book and sit down and read it.
I know. That never happens.
And that's
the next.
That's,
so the never next, happened.
Next photo is going to be her out with the sunrise and her cup of coffee and the book on her lap.
There you go.
That's it.
All right. Well, Carol, congrats as well on my end to the brand new book. And we're not done yet here with Happy Hour. Actually, Jonna, we've got a special guest coming up in segment number three. Who's that?
Oh, we do. Yeah. So I found our next guest purely by accident, but he has got an invention, and it's an invention, for lack of a better word, that really piqued my interest. I think it'll pique yours too. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to Sid Rahman. He owns a gym called Rome 149. Now, it's in Chelsea, it's in Manhattan, but he's going to talk about the special treadmill he's invented that I think will have people flocking there and can be brought to gyms nearby us in the Hudson Valley. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Sid Rahman.
All right, that's what we've got coming up. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Fesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we will be right back. So stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time on Happy Hour here this morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
There you go, Jonna. Why don't you give yourself a high five on the latest fail? Nice.
Yeah, because you know that sucked too.
I can't give myself two high fives in one show.
No, I guess you can.
I'm a one high five per show kind of.
That's okay, it. Yeah, you don't want to get all cocky and stuff. So anyway, I want to say thanks. Thanks very much for talking to that Carol Pesci person in our last segment there with her new book. Nicely done.
She was awesome. We got to have her back again.
I know. We really should. I'm thinking she was so good that we might even want to have her back every week.
Oh, love it. Great idea. Let's take them all in favor.
Aye.
Well,
aye.
We need to bring that to the board. So I'll have to for right now. But what we don't have to bring to the board is we have another treat for you. This is two treats in one show. So I want to tell you guys a little bit about what happened this week. So every once in a while, and we've all done this, so the three of us have done this, where somebody crosses our paths in a very interesting way or brings something new to the stratosphere, and we find it so interesting that we want to highlight it and talk about it on the show. Well, that happened to me this week in that I was introduced to our next guest, whose name is Sid Rahman. Now, what Sid has done, and this is something near and dear to my heart, Sid is actually an engineer as opposed to a fitness guru, and he developed and created a new special type of treadmill, which is unlike any other treadmill that you've ever seen. Now, I know people are like, oh, treadmills. And even Sid will tell you that most people refer to treadmills as dreadmills. And I get that. but not anymore. And I will let Sid tell you all about it. So before I do, so Sid Rahman, like I said, is an engineer who created and patented a new type of treadmill. He's also the creator, owner, we call it a metaverse gym, entitled Rome 149 in Chelsea is the name of the gym. And let me stop here. Sid, what is the actual name of your treadmill?
Well, the treadmill itself is called the Experience, because really that's what it's supposed to give you, is a unique experience. And we spell it Experience. However, as you rightly pointed out, we've put it in a space, a gym called Rome 149. And the significance of that name is because not only is the treadmill somewhat unique, but also the software that runs it is unlike the software that runs most of these types of equipment, in the sense that you get to choose where you go. And therefore, the connotation roam is you can roam, you know, in all of the maps and scenes that we have created that supplement the hardware itself.
But let me back you up for a second, Sid. And again, we're speaking with Sid Rahman. Welcome to Happy Hour. Because you and I talked yesterday.
Yep.
You are welcome. You and I talked yesterday. And this is not like, look, anybody who's been to any number of gyms or has, you know, sometimes the home treadmills too, they'll have you can run on a treadmill and you can look and view a screen that brings you to a faraway location, anywhere you want to be. You can be running and looking at terrain. This is not that. Your product actually takes it a step farther. So why don't we tell our viewers, how does your Experience treadmill work?
Well, let me just give a little brief background about myself. I'm a trail runner. I've run all my life, but in the last 5 or 6 years, I felt that trail running was the thing for me, because you get to commune with nature and, sort of a meditative process. I've always liked to run alone. And during the winter months, you know, it becomes difficult to do trail running because there's an increased risk of tripping on roots. And you know, as you know, the woods get darker quicker, and coupled with bad weather, right about the time of the beginning of the pandemic, I have a robotics engineering group, which I decided we would take a hiatus and perhaps look at making a machine that would simulate running outside a lot more accurately than what's currently available. As you rightly pointed out, the main things that we wanted to do is allow the machine, the treadmill, if you will, to be more reactive. Because when I say walking outside, what are the first two things you think of? First is that the terrain meets your feet in a manner that your eyes see, right? So what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the immersiveness. Many companies have tried to increase the size of the screen or do various things to try and put you inside the scene that they're trying to show. And we wanted to go a step further. And the way we did that is, first of all, we have a very large screen. It's an 85-inch diagonal. And your avatar or the persona that you will be in a game is able to interact with these scenes. I mean, we can have you push an object. We can have you pull an object. If you see a hurdle on the track, You can actually jump over the hurdle. So we're really putting your avatar into the scene. And the last thing that's kind of unique about this equipment is that we've put it in a booth, and we call it a pod. It's called a run pod or a cardio pod. And the reason for that is, again, as a bow to, you know, the times that we live in, with COVID being, you know, rampant when we were developing this, I decided that it might be prudent to have your own air supply. So we triple filter the air that comes into each booth, and whatever you exhale goes right back, you know, to the HVAC equipment, you know, the mechanical equipment. So anyway, to put it all together, you have a very reactive treadmill that has the capability of accurately mirroring the terrain that you're running on. You have a piece of equipment that's very open. We don't have a lot of knobs and buttons and controls. We don't have a water cup holder or a magazine rack. All we have is a railing around you for safety reasons, of course, and to give you extra stability when you're going on some of the steeper inclines. And all of this gives you that overall feeling of being outside.
Hang on a minute, Sid. I want to stop you there because this is the cool part. This is so, you know, normally when people are on a treadmill and they want to go up or down or faster or slower, they're pressing buttons to do that. Doesn't your treadmill have the capability of you can kind of change the terrain with hand movements? No,
that's absolutely right.
Wow.
So that's one of the unique features that we, you know, added into this concept. And that is that, for example, we have a moon run. A moon run is one of my favorites because it's endless terrain. You know, there's not much to see, but there's so much for your feet to do. And you can choose what incline or decline you want. And that's another feature of our treadmill. It also declines to some extent. So the complete incline is up to a 40-degree grade, and the complete decline is to a 12-degree negative grade.
Oh, so wow.
A 50-degree grade difference, and this can happen in a matter of between 1 and 2 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. It's very reactive. And, you know, initially when we get people on it, we keep the grade differences a little more modest until they get the hang of it. But really, I mean, if you can run outside with balance, it is no different than that. I mean, it takes a little bit of getting used to, and we've tried our best to kind of give you that what you see is what you get kind of a feeling.
It is remarkable. And so it is the type of thing that, so it's not really a home use type of treadmill, but like, for example, You opened Rome 149, a metaverse gym in Chelsea. Now, where this show airs is sort of a bedroom community for New York City. So people within the sound of our voice could find you at Rome 149 in Chelsea and check this out. But also, this is something that you could sell to, like, there are plenty of gyms in the Hudson Valley, some private, some chains. You could sell this to them so that, you know, people who are in the Hudson Valley could enjoy this experience too. Is that the idea for marketing this product?
Yes, it is. You know, obviously we wanted to start in a facility where we have control over the product. It is a new concept. And therefore, you know, we feel very confident of having done all of the requisite testing and, you know, hardware engineering. But yes, in the very near future, we want to be able to have other people enjoy this product also. And one of the things is, you know, we've had a lot of physiotherapists look at this product as something they would want to bring into a physiotherapy practice, because as people are getting rehabilitated from a surgery or an injury, this machine provides a lot more dynamic exercising routines so that all of your muscles get back into shape, so that you're able to, you know, enjoy your life outside of a rehab facility. So we're seeing a lot of interest from those type of entities as well.
I love it. And no mosquitoes. And I would really love the fact that, you know, going, you know, I go to a gym occasionally and I don't love being able to be seen on the treadmill for a number of reasons. And this would be perfect. We do have to wrap up. We've been talking with Sid Rahman, the creator of the Experience, which is not spelled like normal experience, but it's a very special treadmill that you can check out yourselves at his gym in Chelsea. Called Rome 149. Sid, if people want to get a hold of you, whether they want to check out the machine or talk to you about purchasing a machine, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, they can definitely email me. I don't know if I'm allowed to give out my email address on your show.
Of course.
It's my, like my name, Sid.Rahman, R-A-M-A-N, at Rome149.com. They can also call the establishment, and if I'm not there, they can leave a message with the staff, and I will definitely get back to them.
That's great. Again, the gym is Rome 149 in Chelsea. That's in Manhattan. We've been talking with Sid Rahman. Sid, this is I'm going to be there. I'm going to physically check out this treadmill, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it today and happy. This is a scoop. This is nobody else knows about this. I think we're your first.
Yes.
We scooped everybody, so you heard it here on Happy Hour first. Sid, thanks a lot for
Thank you so much for today. Giving me this opportunity.
And Sid, by the way, if Jonna does when Jonna does show up to your place, make sure that you have your phone out, because Jonna mishaps are always a great part of our show. So if she does trip on this thing, or she has some sort of wardrobe malfunction while running on it, we want proof. We want evidence.
Oh, great.
Okay, if my All insurance right. permits yeah. that, I will.
Thank okay. you so much. All right. Well, listen, Sid, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
All right there, ladies. Well, I think we've had a pretty good show. We had some woman named Pesci on talking about her book, and that was very interesting. And we had Leather Tuscadero with us today. By the way, audience, I don't think we mentioned to you that is Jonna's alias this week.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, because she's not Pinky Tuscadero. No, she's the bad girl.
No.
She's leather.
That's right.
That's right.
Got it.
So anyway, Happy Hour will be back again next week. Same time, as always, right here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. I'm Frankenberry. Until then, please have a good week and make it a safe one. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104 online.com.